In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
May the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Greetings to those who are with us at home. It's always our honor to have you join us. Well, what time is it? We just sang about that. It is time to... And time to give our hearts to God. So let's make the most of this time, asking His help to put aside whatever distractions we may have come with, asking His help to worship, to give Him our hearts. And we begin, as we always do, by asking His help to see ourselves truly, to see where we have fallen short, where we've missed the mark, so that we might turn to Him for mercy and forgiveness, so that He might lift us up and set us free. I confess, Almighty God, to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have sinned through my own fault,
in my thoughts
and in my words, in what I have failed to do. And you, my brothers and sisters, pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to life everlasting.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Glory to God in the highest,
and peace to His people on earth.
Lord God, heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father, receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, the light of Jesus has scattered the darkness of hatred and sin. Called to that light, we ask for your guidance. Form our lives in your truth, our hearts in your love. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
A reading from the first book of Kings. The Lord said to Elijah, "You shall anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, as prophet to succeed you." Elijah set out and came upon Elisha, son of Shaphat, and he was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. He was following the 12th. Elijah went over to him and threw his cloak over him. Elisha left the oxen, ran after Elijah, and said, "Please, let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, and I will follow you." Elisha answered, "Go back. Have I done anything to you?" Elisha left him, and taking the yoke of oxen, slaughtered them. He used the plowing equipment for fuel to boil their flesh, and gave it to his people to eat. Then Elisha left and followed Elijah as his attendant. The word of the Lord.
You are my inheritance, O Lord. You are my inheritance, O Lord. You are my inheritance, O Lord. You are my inheritance, O Lord. Keep me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, my Lord, are you? O Lord, my allotted portion and my cup, you it is who hold fast my lot. You are my inheritance, O Lord. You are my inheritance, O Lord. I bless the Lord who counsels me. Even in the night my heart exhorts me. I set the Lord ever before me. With him at my right hand I shall not be disturbed. You are my inheritance, O Lord. You are my inheritance, O Lord. Therefore my heart is glad and my soul rejoices. My body too abides in confidence. Because you will not abandon my soul to the netherworld, nor will you suffer your faithful one to undergo corruption. You are my inheritance, O Lord. You are my inheritance, O Lord. You will show me the path to life. Fullness of joys in your presence, the delights at your right hand forever. You are my inheritance, O Lord. You are my inheritance, O Lord.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Galatians. Brothers and sisters, for freedom Christ set us free. So stand firm and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. For you were called for freedom, brothers and sisters, but do not use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Rather, serve one another through love. For the whole law is fulfilled in one statement, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you go on biting and devouring one another, beware that you are not consumed by one another. I say then, live by the Spirit, and you will certainly not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh has desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so that you may not do what you want. But if you are guided by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. You have the words of everlasting life. Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. When the days for Jesus being taken up were fulfilled, he resolutely determined to journey to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On the way, they entered a Samaritan village to prepare for his reception there. But they would not welcome him because the destination of his journey was Jerusalem. When the disciples, James and John, saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to consume them?" Jesus turned and rebuked them, and they journeyed to another village. As they were proceeding on their journey, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus answered him, "Foxes have dens and birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, let me go first and bury my father." But Jesus answered him, "Let the dead bury their dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to my family at home." To him, Jesus said, "No one who sets a hand to the plow and looks to what was left behind is fit for the kingdom of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, Paul writes, for freedom Christ set us free. For you are called to freedom. So don't use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. I say then, Paul says, live by the Spirit. Freedom. Paul talks about it a lot. It's one of the great calls of the human spirit, why most of our ancestors came to this country. It is why the first Catholics came here to do just what we're doing now, without the threat of being drawn and quartered.
I still hear the words of Martin Luther King on the Mall in Washington. Free at last, free at last. Great God Almighty, free at last. This will date me, but I hear Richie Havens singing at Woodstock. Freedom, freedom, freedom. Another 100 times. And the Bible says that the greatest battle for freedom is not a battle of politics or money or arms. It's a battle of desires within us. A battle, as our second reading tells us, between the flesh and the spirit. And it is the outcome of this battle on which your freedom rests. So what are the desires of the spirit? Oh, come on, we're familiar with the desires of the flesh, aren't we? Anybody need any help there? Those are our lower desires. What are our higher desires? What are the desires of the Spirit? We know through baptism that we've been reborn through water in the Spirit, and the Spirit has been poured into our hearts, and the Spirit cries out, Abba, Father. Some translate that even more literally as Daddy, affectionate. Close, trusting. The Spirit within us wants to know our Father, our God from whom we came. Our great desire within us is to know the one true God revealed not only as Father, but also as Son and Holy Spirit. More than we desire knowledge, more than we desire human companionship, more than we desire food and air, pleasure or happiness, we desire to know God, who is love. Pure and simple love straight through, and the source of everything good. It's a desire of the Spirit to know the truth. In the midst of all this confusion and competing ideas, don't you sometimes want to shut it all off and say, well, somebody just agree on something. Can I know for sure? Yes, you can. Jesus is the truth. It's the desire of the Spirit to be holy. Be like God because we're made in His image. It's a desire of the Spirit to know beauty. Vacation time is coming up. For many of us, sometimes maybe it's just over. I'm going, spending some time up in northern Michigan. I think it's one of the most beautiful places on earth. I've said this before, but I love to walk the beaches, especially of Lake Michigan. I can do it for hours. Sometimes I'm not even thinking, I just like to be there. But I always have one temptation. It just won't go away year after year. I thought something was wrong with me. I'd be walking along the beach and would see this beautiful house, and I'd say, oh, Lord, I want that one. And I'd say, I mean, there's lots of things I could be thinking about and distracted by, lots of things. But this is, it's always this one. So I want that one. Oh, I'll invite priests up. We'll make it a house of retreat. The people of St. Linus can use it. But I want that one. And a little later, oh, how about that one? Come on, you got the cattle on 1,000 hills. How about a house? And somebody, and I was just saying, gosh, sometimes it's just distracting. Because whenever I see a beautiful house here in a beautiful place, I just think of having it. And that person said, no, that's just a desire of heaven. And I thought he got it right. It wasn't really selfish. I'm not living a life that seeks for those things. I just wanted the peace and the beauty and the godliness, the higher things that one experiences walking along that. We're made for beauty. Beauty beyond us. Beauty infinite. It's a desire of the Spirit to bear fruit, to make a difference, to have your life matter, to give to others. Because that's the nature of God, is to give. That's what He gave us. It's what He did in His Son. It's not a trite phrase. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And those who've given much know that well. It's God's Spirit inside of us to want to bear fruit, make a difference, pass on the goodness we have received. It's a desire of the Spirit to glorify God. Have you ever been someplace and because of the grandeur, because of the wonder and majesty, because you're getting goosebumps, you just wanted to shout, "Whoo, wow, hallelujah, thank you"? And you see the northern lights, fantastic, spectacular lightning. And you see a mountain painted with the colors of autumn, a spectacular storm from a safe place. Wherever it is, you've experienced something wondrous and majestic. It's a fraction of what God Himself is. And what we who experience Him want to respond, come into God's presence. If we see who we're with, everything inside us wants to shout glory. Give ourselves in worship to such majesty. These are just some of the desires of the Spirit. These are your deepest desires. You were made to know God, to glorify God, to love God, to be like Him, your sons and daughters of the High King. Hey, so what's the problem? Why aren't you a perfect saint? Assuming you're not. If this is what you're about, well, how come you're not like the happiest person in the world? Well, because the desires of the Spirit aren't your only desires, are they now? Would you rather pray or watch TV? Would you rather study the New Testament or play the slots? Not that these things are bad in themselves, but they are when they crowd out better things. When they self become a distraction from greater happiness. Would you rather practice self-mortification? Anybody clapping their hands here? Or indulge in unlimited illicit pleasure? Would you rather eat broccoli or chocolate? We don't always desire what's good for us. Not to mention pride, lust, envy, greed, things we know too well. Sometimes we want opposite things at the same time. Sure, we want to love God and we want to cast off all restraint at the same time. Freedom is the ability to choose the greater thing, the higher thing. Freedom is to choose the desires of the Spirit. True freedom is freedom from fear and sin and the world, the flesh and the devil. Freedom is not freedom from God. It's not freedom from authority. I like to say freedom isn't what I used to experience when my parents were gone for the weekend in high school. It's not the freedom to do whatever we want. It's the freedom to know God, to love God, to experience God's beauty, to be holy, to bear fruit. And the only way to be free is to be the disciple of the one who came to set us free. Following Jesus will set us free. And that's the point of the first reading in the gospel reading today. Come on, these are some of the hardest words of Jesus. Don't you think he's being a little harsh? Yes, I will follow you. But wait, I first got to bury my father? We don't know if it's true. We don't know if he's making excuses. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt. How does Jesus respond? He says, let the dead bury the dead. I often say those who are stuck in sin, care for those who are stuck in sin. You've got a higher duty. You go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Yes, Lord, I will follow you, but first let me say farewell to my family. Sounds reasonable, doesn't it? Didn't say no. How does Jesus respond? No one who sets a hand to the plow and looks to what was left behind is fit for the kingdom of God. Yikes. Jesus is saying something pretty clear here. It's God first, period. Before family, before career, before financial independence, before personal choice. Because it's only when God is first that we're truly free to put everything else in its right place. It's only when God is first that we can see everything else clearly and we're not bound by our own passions. So, where are you looking back? And not fit for the kingdom. Where are you making excuses? Let me do this and that, even if it is good things. You need help. Where do you need Jesus to set you free? What are the deeper desires of your spirit saying to you?